We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the final week of the regular season for a lot of fantasy leagues, including the NFFC. Last fab week for the NFFC. So we'll talk with Tom Kesenick from the NFFC to talk about this week. We'll talk about ranting from week 13, especially for Monday night. He and I both had axes to grind as far as that goes. We'll do that on the RotoWire podcast coming up next. Hey, everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by NoHouseAdvantage.com. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Tom Kesenick from the NFFC. Tom, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff.
Of course. Of course. Always fun to talk with you. Get to talk to you a lot on SiriusXM. We'll do so. I think it's Greg this week and you next week, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, looking forward to this week is a big week for everybody. It's the last week of the fantasy regular season for a lot of leagues and for all the NFFC leagues, except for the cut line, which is a whole different animal. But it's huge to get this right, but it's so hard this week. Six teams on bye and three teams with quarterback issues that we don't know who's going to be their quarterback. It's a big mess out there.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it much more difficult with six teams on bye. And trying to figure out fab, you're right, injuries impacting quarterback decisions. It just gets it shouldn't be this tricky, but it is. And it's, you know, with so much riding on it, you know, you got playoff positions, playoff seeding. It's just it's going to be tough. But hey, you know, when you're in the NFFC, it's high stakes. It shouldn't be easy. So it's just going to make it doubly difficult to make these all important decisions with so much riding on it. But again, when you're playing in high stakes, nothing should be easy. So, you know, good luck to everybody with final, you know, two fab periods tonight and Saturday. So good luck to everybody making these big decisions, because again, a lot's going to be riding on what happens beginning Thursday night with the Rams and Raiders all the way through the Monday night game.
Yeah. So let's talk about that Rams Raiders game. We don't know who the Rams quarterback's going to be. Yeah, I know we do. It could be Baker Mayfield. It could be, it could be John Wolford with a bad neck. It could be Bryce Perkins. I never want to use the Raiders defense in fantasy, but do you use the Raiders defense this week?
I think, yeah. I mean, again, six teams on bye, right? Yeah. So, and you're looking for streaming defenses. The Raiders D is actually playing okay right now. They got a bit of a pass rush going on right now, and the Rams have been a generous team to stream against for defenses lately. So, yeah, I don't think you feel great about the Raiders as a streaming defense. But, again, with six teams on bye, I think they are going to be – and, again, you know, Thursday night games are never ones you feel good about, because if something goes wrong, you're sitting there staring at a bad number for, you know, what, 3 days or whatever it is until we get to Sunday. I'm terrible at math. But
right,
I think, yes – you know, you're kind of looking at the Raiders going, I'm okay with it this week. I don't feel great about it. You know, I don't feel as good about them as I felt about the Browns last week, for example. Now, I wasn't expecting what happened with the Browns. I did like them a lot. I wasn't expecting that, but I did like them. But I do like the Raiders overall. On a 1 to 10 scale, I felt like the Browns were an 8 to 9 last week. I would say the Raiders are more a 6-ish to maybe 7 at most this week.
Yeah, Kyle Allen was so bad. It was like performance art. I mean, it was just really awful. And then you got the special teams touchdown to boot on top of that.
Right.
Was really nice. Yeah, unfortunately, Cowboys are rostered everywhere. You can't stream them. But the Raiders are, I mean, they're out there just waiting to be plucked. And, you know.
Right. Well, they're out there because they're not good. That's why they're out there. So that's the downside. There's a reason why they're readily available, right?
Yes. Yes.
They're not a good defense. So that's the risk you take. And it's a Thursday night game to boot. So it's a double kind of whammy there if it doesn't go right for you. You know, and again, we saw Cam Akers look good this past Sunday. So could Cam Akers get going against them? It's certainly possible, you know, and could something goofy happen where the Rams kind of show up a little bit? If Baker Mayfield does play, which I think's in the realm of possibility, you know, could he hit Van Jefferson for a bomb or something and all of a sudden you got a football game?
Yep.
You know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that something happens here where the Raiders kind of soil the bet on you. I mean, I'm all of a sudden I said 6 to 7. Now I'm saying 5 to 6 as I'm sitting here talking. I'm just,
yeah.
But again, I do think with six teams on bye, you're kind of looking at the Raiders going, they're probably the best streaming defense who's available out there.
There's an argument advanced by our colleague, Matthew Berry and Rich Rebar, Lord Reeves, arguing that defense and special teams is even more random than a kicker. Or at least it's not really based off of skill. It's based off of opponent, the offense you're playing against, the strength of the actual defense. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, we're going to get to a point where we're just going to be taking every position out of the game. Because what's more random, defenses or tight ends? Look at the top 12 tight ends in week 13. I mean, with all due respect, I can't pronounce the name of the Titans tight end from last week, right?
Yeah.
And Cade Otton was tight end 1 only because the Saints literally refused to win that football game last week.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we can talk about that in a second. I know you're baiting me here. You want me to talk about this game. But
I'm hurting because of it too, Tom, just so you know.
Yeah.
I'm hurting because of that game.
But that's the only reason why Cade Otton was tight end 1 last week, because the Saints literally refused to win that football game. Oh. So that's how random tight ends are this year. If you don't have Travis Kelce, right?
Yep.
I mean, you can't stream tight ends right now.
Yep.
You can't stream them. I mean, Pat Freiermuth put up 10 points in the first half last Sunday for the Steelers. The Falcons cannot cover that position. And then the Steelers were, well, we're done. We don't need to use him anymore. And the game was close the whole way. Why did they stop using Pat Freiermuth? I mean, I don't understand what teams are doing here.
Right.
You know,
Freiermuth and Pickens both. Disaster. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I mean, everybody's talking about Pickens, and I get it. I understand it. I mean, they should have used him more. But the last time we saw Pat Freiermuth on the football field on Sunday, he was running 57 yards down the field with the ball in his hand. And Matt Canada was like, yeah, we're done. We don't need him anymore. What are you doing here?
Agreed.
I mean, but again,
Freiermuth's a top 5 tight end for me too. That's the thing. That's the crazy thing. Like, he's one of my circle of trust guys. There are 3 tight ends that I fully truly trust: Kelce, Andrews, and Hockenson. And then after that, you know, Freiermuth's really good, but I don't trust the Steelers. Dalton Schultz, I mean, I think he's pretty darn good, but you never know. I mean, the Niners are stopped using George Kittle, for crying out loud.
Right.
He gets 2 targets a game.
You can't start George Kittle anymore.
But
that's
I have
how
to.
Bad tight ends are.
Yeah. My primetime team knows this all too well. I mean, I can't not start him, though. That's the really frustrating part. I got to start him. I mean, what else am I going to go do? I mean, like, maybe stream Hunter Henry if I'm in a situation. Like, do you actually start Hunter Henry this week against the sinkhole that is Arizona over George Kittle?
Yes. Yes.
You do? Okay.
I would. I would, definitely. Against that defense? Against Arizona? Absolutely. Yes.
Man, it's so hard mentally to do that, though. I guess this
I know,
is why.
But,
yeah.
I think, yes, against that defense, yes.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I haven't ranked it accordingly, but I see the logic behind it there. Okonwo, I mean, he's a guy that's getting steam. I don't know if I can put him over Kittle either, but yeah. And the thing is, you want to avoid recency bias, but at the same time, I mean, you got the Niners with Brock Purdy at quarterback. He's just a dink and dunk quarterback. He's just going to check down to McCaffrey all day long. I think
McCaffrey
I
and Debo.
Yeah, and I think Ayuk gets hurt more than anybody in this offense because of this change. I think he gets really crushed by that.
I think the offense now is McCaffrey and Debo.
Yeah. Okay, say you got Justin Fields on bye, or you had Lamar or have Lamar. Are you picking up Huntley or are you picking up Purdy?
Oh, Huntley.
Yeah, me
but
too.
I mean, Huntley was really good up until that last game he started last year. He really fell off the last game, but Huntley is kind of Lamar light. He's going to run all the time. He's not as good a passer as Lamar. Mm-hmm. And their issues are they've got nobody to throw to other than Mark Andrews.
Yeah.
I mean, their wide receiver core is horrible. I mean, I know Robinson kind of showed up a little bit last week, but I mean, really, he's a four.
Yeah.
I mean, they're forcing him into a one role. I mean, the Bateman injury just destroyed, and they didn't, even with Bateman, they were terrible. Bateman's really good, but they got nobody else besides him. I don't know what they were thinking. I mean, maybe Hollywood Brown forced his way out, but when they traded him, they just decimated their wide receiver core.
Yeah.
So
that story doesn't get covered as much as I think it should. I mean, because I think Baltimore is typically a very smart franchise, right? You know, they get a lot of credit. They do. I mean, they've had good teams. Harbaugh is a good coach. I get all this. I thought it was horrible malpractice to not get another receiver once they trade away Hollywood Brown.
I said it on draft night. I thought of all the things that happened on draft night. I mean, obviously there's a lot of attention on Philadelphia and I love that trade, but I thought the Cardinals just stole Hollywood Brown away from the Ravens. And I didn't think anybody was talking about this. And now Brown getting hurt a lot is kind of, and the Cardinals having all their issues, you know, that's kind of taken the bloom off the rose, if you will, but they stole him away from the Ravens. I mean, they didn't pay anything for him.
And even if they didn't, like, fine, okay, replace him with something. They didn't.
Yeah.
That's the thing that drives me crazy is, like, you know, good teams surround their talent with other talent. I mean, you know, the Eagles did that. The Bengals have done that. You know, you build this offense and you want to – you've got a good, you know, franchise quarterback, at least what people think is a franchise quarterback. They have a huge issue coming up this offseason as far as what to do with Lamar. They haven't signed him to that long-term deal yet. It's going to be a
and
wild
now he's hurt
offseason.
Again. And now he's hurt again. So, I mean, you could make the argument that they've played this right because once again, for the second straight year, he's hurt at the end of the year. And so, I mean, I'm not saying they have, but in their eyes, they're probably going to come right back to him and say, look, man, 2 years in a row when we needed you, where are you?
You know? So, okay, but
it's a harsh business. That's a harsh thing to say. And I'm not saying I agree with it, but that could be their.
Yeah. Well, he got hurt because he had to carry the offense because they didn't give him talent around him.
That's his argument. And that's the argument I would make. I'm in his argument.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's what they could say.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, it's just a wasted year. I mean, that's the thing is you only have a finite number of years. And this is the last year with him under a rookie contract. Now, whatever it takes to get him happy is going to be a lot more expensive. They're going to be able to afford even less around him. I think it's a disaster in the making. We'll talk about a few other quarterbacks in a second, but first, got to share a note from our title sponsor, No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests versus other people for the shot at winning big cash prizes. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot at hundreds of thousands of dollars every week. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all of your picks. Bet on up to 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Sign up now with promo code NHAWIRE. That's NHAWIRE at NoHouseAdvantage.com or download the app on the app stores to get a first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but also where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. Jeff Erickson here with Tom Kesnick from the NFFC. It's a big week for free agent bidding, so we've established Huntley over Purdy. Any other like quarterbacks out there that are interesting to me, you know, if you're trying to pick up for the stretch runner, are you pretty much stuck with what you got at this point?
Off the waiver wire, I think you got what you got. I think Huntley's probably the only guy off the waiver wire at this point. I can't really think of anybody that you'd want to be investing in. I don't think there's any league winners at this point. I mean, Huntley's probably the one guy you might want to dive into, assuming Lamar's out multiple weeks.
I agree. I
mean, maybe you want to go to Mac Jones if he's hanging out there with the, I mean, he's got a really nice matchup on Monday night. So, you know, maybe.
But after the last matchup, it's like, it's hard to invest in him. I mean, it was so ugly. I mean, I get it, but yeah, you're right.
The matchup Monday night is really good.
It is. So, you know, I think it's been a huge advantage to have a really good quarterback this year. Usually I play the weight on the quarterbacks game, and it hasn't borne too much fruit unless you like picked up Geno Smith, Justin Fields in the weeks that he's healthy. If all the weight on guys like Aaron Rodgers or Tannehill or anybody in that range, is just diminishing returns. Derek Carr has been fine lately, but you went through a long stretch with some bad games out of him too.
No, it's pretty simple. I mean, I have all of my leagues. There's no middle of the road teams. I've got really down to two teams doing really well and every other team not. And the difference is the two teams, one of them has Joe Burrow and the other team has Kyler and Tua. Mm-hmm. So, and I've been alternating them. So that's the difference. And Kyler's been okay and Tua's been pretty good, but Burrow's been great. That's the difference. And I mean, I've got a smattering of decent running backs on those teams. But basically, I mean, like McCaffrey and Stevenson's been good, but basically it's been the quarterback play. That's the difference. So, because I haven't hit on like the wide receivers I thought I was going to hit on. But it's been the quarterbacks. There's no question to me. I'm reevaluating my strategy. I've always been a weight on quarterback guy, with hardcore. That's been my approach because I've always felt like I could ID those guys in like round 7 through 9, find those guys. Because in the past, I'd hit on Jalen Hurts or Lamar and hit those guys that would be, you know, the QB 5 to 8 guys. You know, the guys you could draft as QB 12, but they'd ascend during the year. Heck with that. I'm going to start, and I'm not saying draft a guy in round 2, but maybe round 3. You know, the Josh Allens of the world, you know, where he went this year. I'm going to start looking at that. I've never done that before, but I tell you what, next year, and maybe it's, and the other thing is, hey, the cheat code is Travis Kelce this year. I've never done that. I've never been a draft tight end early guy, but if I'm at the end of round 1 next year, Travis Kelce, for crying out loud, maybe 40 freaking years old someday, but he does not get hurt, right? I mean,
He's Tony Gonzalez reincarnate. I mean,
I know he missed his rookie year, but ever since then, he's missed 2 games. One was due to COVID. He does not get hurt. He's super durable, and we know how great he is. So if he's sitting there at the end of round 1 next year, I'm not going to be afraid to pull the trigger on that because he is an elite wide receiver 1. The two things I'm looking at, and I don't think it's overreacting to the results of this year, because with Kelce, it's been year in and year out. And I do think the trend here is, because we're seeing the trend in the NFL, the trend is these top quarterbacks are changing the game. So I think we have to look at that from a fantasy perspective and go, we may have to go, hey, let's go get these guys rather than waiting on the position, because I don't think the mediocre quarterbacks – that we think are so great for depth are the keys anymore, because those 20 to 22 ish three, you know, point per game guys, they're not moving the needle anymore.
I think you're right. my primetime team has Jalen Hurts. That's been great. I've been loving that experience there. If I could just redo the fourth round, I'd have such a good team. But I still have a good team, but it could be so much better. Let's look at running backs. It's this week is kind of tricky. A lot of guys on bye. We have a team with an entire team where we don't know who the running back's going to be in Seattle this week. John Coleman asked about that. What do you make in advance of the Seattle running back situation? Kenneth Walker got hurt with a jammed ankle. Got to love the Pete Carroll injury injury discussions every year, every week, I should say. You know, DJ Dallas played, got hurt, and then came back when Tony Jones got hit in the head with a helmet to helmet. Travis Homer missed the game. I mean, they are down. They're like Spinal Tap drummers. They just kept losing their running backs. They signed Wayne Gallman to their practice squad. He might be active this week. Are you picking up any of these Seattle running backs?
No, I think that's just a position to avoid at this point. I mean, I can't. I mean, I guess if you get super desperate, but I mean, how many points are we looking at there? I mean, if it becomes a cluster, if it becomes a pure committee, are you getting anything more than 5 or 6 points? And you're hoping somebody gets a touchdown, but who's going to be the goal line guy there? I think it's going to be a passing, you know, they're going to focus on the passing game, right? They're going to focus on what Geno can get with Metcalf and Lockett throwing the ball there. I mean, you know, it could be DJ Dallas. I guess if he's the guy you want to go after, yeah, maybe he's the guy who gets, you know, 10 or so carries and gets him maybe 7 or 8 points. But then you're hoping for a touchdown just to hit double digits. To me, it's RB3 value at best. And I'm, you know, I know there, again, there's six teams on bye. I get it. And everybody's going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but I just feel like it's dart throwing time. And I'm not there unless I'm super desperate in that backfield.
I do have an online championship team that is super desperate, but
then I guess if you're asking me to pick somebody, it's Dallas.
Yeah. It was epic failure of management on my part, but I do like the matchup. I do like matching up against Carolina. That, you know, Mixon had his massive game against them. I don't think anybody expects that, but I also love running backs against Seattle right now. I mean, Cam Akers even looked good last week. I mean, that takes some doing. That's not quite Chargers bad in terms against the run, but it's pretty close. If you look at like the last month, Seattle has been awful against the run. So I think Deonta Foreman's like a huge score this week if you have him.
Yeah, I wish he wasn't as banged up as he is, but I do think he's looking pretty good. I just wish he was a little healthier.
Yeah, I might even take a flyer on Chuba Hubbard if he's available. I know in the NFFC he's not available, but that's one thing. Do you think Kenneth Walker is hitting the rookie wall at all? I feel like he has.
Possibly, but I mean, the good news was he was still scoring touchdowns. I mean, that was good news. So he was still getting the value there. But yeah, I mean, I think he was hitting it. Damian Pierce clearly was, although that whole offense was just, you know, falling apart. But I think
for sure.
He clearly was. He was definitely hitting the rookie wall for sure. Those two guys were. So, you know, it happens. I mean, but again, with Pierce in particular, he was their whole offense. So it's not surprising that it was just at some point it was going to fall apart for him because, I mean, they just had nothing else there.
For sure. G.R. Reed says, what do you think about James Cook as a backup to ETN, Barkley, and Foreman? Or would getting a handcuff be better? And I think that's an interesting question because obviously – Go ahead.
I mean, I'd rather have Cook. I mean, to me, I mean, I'm not a big handcuff guy because I look at that and go, well, I mean, I guess Hasty's okay there. I mean, Breed has been all right. But I'd rather – to me, who's the more talented running back? James Cook. He's more talented than Hasty, Breida, or Hubbard. So,
and he's going to a better offense. Yes.
And yeah, plus he's emerging. I mean, he got 20 touches last week, even with Singletary there. Mm-hmm. So give me the more talented running back rather than the guy who's secure, who may not even get into your – James Cook could get into your lineup right now. I mean, the other guys, you need an injury. Otherwise, they're just taking up a roster spot. You could start James Cook this week as an RB2. Or an RB3. Right. I mean, so the other guys are not starting unless there's an injury. So to me, it's James Cook.
I agree. I picked up Cook in some leagues. Then I got disappointed in his usage. Then they traded for Hines. Then didn't use Hines at all. And every time they do use Hines, it's a disaster too. They were using Hines a couple weeks ago. I think it was the Thanksgiving game in goal line situations. I was like, why? Or yeah. No, in the Thursday night game, they did that too, where he gave him some runs. Like, what? That's not how you use Nyheim Hines. No. What are you doing?
I feel like, I'm watching their usage of him, and it's like we just traded for this guy. We have to use him.
Yeah.
That is what I feel like when I'm watching their usage of him. It's like, oh yeah, we traded for this guy. We should probably use him.
Right.
I mean, it's the most pointless trade of the 2022 season was Nyheim Hines to Buffalo, because they have no idea what they're doing with the guy. But they every once in a while it's like they look at the up and down their sidelines like, oh yeah, we still got this guy. We traded for him. We should probably use him, even though every other running back we have on our roster is better than him. And right. I like Nyheim Hines, but Singletary's better. Cook is definitely better. It's like I don't know what they're doing with the guy.
Well, this is the same franchise that tried to sign J.D. McKissic in the offseason, too. They just have like this hankering to get that pass.
Who's also better than Nyheim Hines?
Yes, yes. But and also better than Zach Moss. So I guess that was part of it too, yeah. I guess, but I suppose, I think it's good. It's a little vexing there, but I agree. I go with Cook in that situation too. Got a general question for you. So last week of free agents, last week of Fab in the NFFC, what's the best use of that remaining Fab? Like, would you try to look ahead and try to lock up a bunch of couple of defenses to try to stream? Cause you know, obviously, we're not going to be able to address our rosters after this. If you're in the playoffs in the NFFC, what's the best way to kind of prepare for those playoffs using this last Fab period?
I mean, I think there's a couple of things you look at. Certainly, I think you do want to, I'd say, target some backup running backs, a stash. That's something Chad Schroeder likes to do. He will go down the depth chart. I mean, he'll target third string running backs and add those to his roster, you know, just
on his own team, like
on his own teams. I mean,
he'll look to his depth charts. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you never know, you know, right. week 15 injuries could just blast away somebody's teams. And all of a sudden the third string guy ascends and he's your starter in week 15. And the other thing is, yeah, it doesn't hurt to carry multiple defenses, because look at matchups in week 16, you're good. You could have two defenses right now, but they could have bad matchups in week 16. And there could be a defense on the waiver wire that's got a great matchup in week 16, but they're like the Raiders. They're a terrible defense, but all of a sudden they got a prime matchup in week 16. Nobody wants them. You could get them for $1 right now. Hey, yeah, something like that. Play the long game. If you know you're going to be a playoff team, you might not be able to do it now because you're scrambling to get in. But if you got a playoff spot locked up now, play the long game. Look at those things you can get for $1, a cheap bid. That's what I'd say if you've got a playoff spot locked up now. Look at the long game. The players you can pick up, defenses, team kickers, cheap pickups you can get for $1 now, like those week 15, 16, 17, $1 bids that could really pay off down the road. We were talking about Hunter Henry, for example. You know, you're starting him this week, but maybe other guys that maybe you can start in the playoff weeks, you can pick them up for $1 now with great matchups down the road.
All right, very good. Good advice as far as that goes. And it's always a unique contest, because in a lot of our home leagues, we can still do pickups throughout the playoffs. But in the NFFC, this is it. Don't leave it on the table. Go get it. Go get those guys. All right, we have to share another note from our friends at Picket. Picket is a social bet tracking app that takes out all of the hassle of tracking your bets and performance over time. Picket connects to every major U.S. sportsbook, DraftKings, FanDuel, and others, and DFS pick'em provider like PrizePicks or Underdog or Thrive Fantasy and more. Once you hook up all of your sportsbooks, Picket does all the heavy lifting to slice and dice your betting data. You'll get detailed historical P&L, graphs, breakdowns by team, sport, player, bet type, and more. You can also line shop for the best odds across your linked sportsbooks to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. When your bets are live, you can track the scores and stats of the games if you bet on, as well as get player prop updates from most major player prop markets. No more switching between your sportsbook app and different score apps. By far the biggest differentiator is that Picket syncs history and bets from all legal major sportsbooks. There is no manual entry required to track your bets. Once you have your accounts linked, it's effortless from there. The social feed and community is what turns Picket from just a bet tracking app to a home for betting, where you can learn from others, see what others are doing, and find verified content to inform your betting decisions. Visit Picket.com. That's P-I-K-K-I-T.com. That's P-I-K-K-I-T.com to download the Picket app today. I'm here with Tom Kesnick from the NFFC. We are talking about Week 14, various issues surrounding that. Tom, I promised people that you get a platform to rant. Let's talk about this Monday night game. Let's rip the Band-Aid off because, first of all, I lost my primetime game on the very last play of the game. And that happens all the time. But Rashad White wasn't even on the field before that timeout was called. It was Fournette. After the timeout, White comes on the field, catches the game-winning touchdown. I go from a three-point winner to a three-point or like a five-point loser instead because of that play. And, yeah, there's other things that could have happened. I could have started a better lineup. But still, you know, it was so vexing to get all the way to the end and then lose on the last play.
That whole game just frustrated.
It was tilting.
My biggest pet peeve in the NFL, and this is beyond fantasy. Now it impacts fantasy, but it's a football thing because it goes back to my days covering the NFL. I cannot stand when coaches don't use their best players properly. It drives me insane. And anybody who follows me on Twitter knows this because I tweet about it constantly because unfortunately it happens constantly. So we're watching the Saints, who should have won this game going away. Not only did they have a commanding lead late in the game, but they were winning this game going away.
Yeah.
Right. But what do? They refuse to win the game. They don't use Alvin Kamara properly. They're throwing the ball to Mark. I don't know what they're doing throwing the ball to Mark Ingram more than Alvin Kamara.
An injured Mark Ingram, by the way.
But yes, that's part two. But number one, there's no reason to be throwing the ball more to Mark Ingram than Alvin Kamara ever in a football game. That should never happen. If that's happening in a football game, Dennis Allen needs to call timeout, walk over to Pete Carmichael and go, excuse me, Pete, what the hell are you doing? What is going on here? Why is this happening? Why is 41 on the sidelines, not in the game? What are you doing? I'm going to keep calling timeouts until you explain to me what is going on here. This is the best receiving running back in football, and you're throwing the ball to Mark Ingram. Stop doing that, or I'm going to fire you right here in Tampa. Now, yeah. Dennis Allen's an idiot, too, by the way, who should never have been allowed back on the plane to New Orleans. That's another issue. Now, part two of my problems with the New Orleans offense, and this has been going on all year. Troy Aikman, who many people have problems with, I personally don't not have as many problems with. At the start of the game, correctly calls Chris Olave, quote, a stud. That's an accurate description of Chris Olave. If you watch the football game from start to finish, every single route that Chris Olave ran against Tampa Bay, he was open. Every single route that he ran against Tampa Bay where he was targeted, he was open. Every single route, that's not a lie. Every route where he got a target, he was open.
Yep.
He only got 6 targets in the whole game. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous on a number of levels. It's really ridiculous when you consider the fact their receiving core is Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry, Rashid Shaheed, yeah. Marcus Callaway. I don't even know who the hell else they got at wide. Chris Olave not getting 10-plus targets a game in this offense is borderline insane.
Yeah.
Then after the Mark Ingram play where he stepped out of bounds on second down, and it's third and short, okay? And everybody wants to go crazy about that, and okay, but he was hurt, never should have been on the field to begin with.
Yeah.
They call a third down passing play, which, by the way, was the correct call. Dennis Allen says, no, we should have ran it. No, you shouldn't. Tampa Bay's run defense is one of the best in the NFL. You're not running against them, you idiot. You're calling a pass play. That was the correct idea. The incorrect play was throwing it to Marquez Callaway?
Who hadn't been targeted all game, and then all of a sudden you wanted to make this contested catch. Yeah, it was crazy.
You throw the ball to the guy. The Buccaneers couldn't cover the whole game. You've got your wide receiver. They literally couldn't cover Chris Olave on every route he ran the whole game. Why wouldn't you the most important play of the game to that point? Why wouldn't you throw the ball to the guy? Their defense could not cover the entire game.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer to that. And then you got the downfield pass to Taysom Hill that he dropped, right?
Mm-hmm.
Running next to him on that play, all by himself, with his hand up in the air, waving it like a madman, because he was all by himself, was Chris Olave. There's no way Andy Dalton couldn't have seen him for two reasons. One, he was running almost next to Taysom Hill, so it's impossible. I saw him, and the camera was from Andy Dalton's point of view, so I saw him. Second of all, he's waving his hand in the air because he's so wide open. All Andy Dalton had to do was throw the ball to Olave. It's an 82-yard touchdown. Game over. Brady probably doesn't go back onto the field because the game is over. So Kate Otten's not the number one tight end in fantasy football in week 13. Tom Brady doesn't throw that touchdown to Rashid White at the end of the game. You don't lose your primetime matchup. And Chris Olave goes off. The Saints are back in the playoff race. Dennis Allen's not having to explain why the Saints choked away a game they should have won, and the Saints used their best wide receiver properly and intelligently.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting here ranting like an idiot for the last couple of minutes.
They could have also gone for it on 4th and inches,
too. This is the kind of stuff that drives me crazy.
Yeah. They also could have decided to go for it on 4th down, too, by the way. Instead of punting it away like they did. I mean, there was like this litany of errors. I mean, the Bucs weren't immune from it either. I mean, they ordered up a punt from the Saints 40-yard line on 4th and 7, and then a later punt in the fourth quarter, down 16-3. I mean, it was unbelievable, some of the decision-making in this game. They got away with it because Brady is Brady, but you can't just say, oh, I knew Brady would lead us back. Come on, that was so improbable. It's happened 3 times ever in the history of the NFL, being down 13 points with 4 minutes left. It's not like you had this master plan. You got lucky. You got lucky. If Taysom Hill holds onto that ball, it's game over.
You got lucky because the guy you're coaching against is dumber than you are.
Yeah.
And also, Dennis Allen's not using his timeouts at the end of the game there like he should have been.
Right.
To make sure he gets a chance to get the ball back with time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're right. Just a litany of errors.
Yeah.
I mean, just
absolutely.
You know, it happens every week in the NFL. It's just, there's so much bad coaching. Now, I love the game. I know people like Andrew Brandt like to tweet out fans just bitch about the game, but they watch every week. That's because the NFL is a great game. We want it to be better. It shouldn't be so frustrating, but it's a great game. It's a great game when it's played well and coached well. It's magnificent. That's what we love. We just want it to be better.
Exactly. All right. One last commercial note. First, though, our podcasts are always brought to you on the Blue Wire Network. Here are some of their ads.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/BlueWire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Also, football is officially back on Monkey Knife Fight with all the NFL action that you're looking for. And if college football is more your speed, they've got plenty of that too. On Monkey Knife Fight, there's no sharks, no salary caps, and no math. It's just easy to play, easy to win, daily fantasy player props. Join now at monkeyknifefight.com and you'll get your first game free. Then use promo code RWNFL to get your first deposit matched instantly up to $100. So, what are you waiting for? Join Monkey Knife Fight today. I'm here with Tom Kasinick from the NFFC. It is the final week of the regular season. Final Fab bids. Make sure you get those bids in tonight. Let's talk about some of the tricky matchups this week, some of the tricky ranks. What are you doing with DeAndre Swift this week, rank-wise? Like, is he top 20 finally? Can we count on him after getting the most touches and most carries last week?
Yeah, I think so. To me, this is a start everybody you can game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great game for fantasy. I don't think anybody's going to really disappoint. I think it's kind of the last week you use DJ Chark. I'm not sure Williams is going to be up to speed just yet, but I feel good about Swift. I think he's kind of back in the mix there. So high upside RB2 play for me.
I agree. By the way, that game, it's the highest total of the week at 53. It's also a game where the Vikings opened as 3-point favorites. They're now 2.5-point underdogs. I thought that was eye-opening. And I understand Detroit's playing well, but still.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to read that one. I know the line. Yeah, the Lions are playing well. They're doing a really good job against running backs lately. They've kind of shut running backs down or at least held them in check a little bit. You know, certainly you're starting Dalvin Cook. You start him every week. But, yeah, I kind of look at that one. I'm like, I think the Lions can win. I probably would pick them to win. Goff plays really well at home. And that Viking defense is so bad. But the Lions defense is so bad, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's going to come. I think it's going to be one of those games that just comes down to who's got the ball last.
Yeah.
You know,
Dan Campbell was close to being like a fired candidate. And now people are talking about like coach of the year because they're talking wild card and all that. There's good vibes going on in Detroit right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, we talked about them. I remember Greg and I talked about them before the season started. I mean, they are loaded offensively, they are doing everything the right way. And I remember saying before the year, all they needed from Goff was just competence, yep. Right? If he was anything better than that, great. But they are loaded offensively. Now, Swift obviously has had a ton of injuries and all that. But I like their wide receiver core. I mean, St. Brown's obviously great, but I thought they had depth around him. Williams, just needed to get healthy. But, I didn't see them trading Hockenson away. But They've got a lot of talent on off. That offensive line is really, really good. Their defense is terrible, but they're, I mean, for the future, they've got a ton of draft picks. I mean, they got a very bright future. So they got to get better defensively, which they should be able to do through the draft. I think they're a team to watch. I mean, you know, what they get at quarterback, you know, draft a QB for the future. Let Goff be the, you know, guy to just bide their time until they develop a guy for the future. But I think they're going to be a good team to be reckoned with for the next several years.
And the pick they got from the Rams is actually going to be higher than their own pick, as it turns out. So who knew? It's pretty wild there. What are the Bengals going to do with Samaje Perine? Because when Mixon comes back, Perine's played just as well, if not better than Mixon.
Yep. No, that's a great question. I mean, actually, I think Greg and I are going to talk about that on our series show tonight. That's a great question. I mean, he's played, let's be honest, he might have played better than Mixon the last three games. He's been fantastic. Mm-hmm. They can't take him out of the lineup. I mean, I'm not saying he starts ahead of Mixon, but we could be looking at a committee in some fashion. They just can't take him away. He's been that good. Now Mixon's really good. So Mixon did nothing to lose the job, but it's got to be some form of a committee. I mean, maybe 60-40 split of some kind. I mean, Perine has done enough to have a role. That's for
sure. I agree. And this is coming from someone, as a Bengals fan, that I was very skeptical about Perine. I was gnashing my teeth about him being on the field in critical situations in the Super Bowl last year.
Me too.
He breaks tackles better than Mixon does, at least according to my eyes. I think Mixon does a better job of evading him. Perine seems to be like making more after contact. That might just be my eyes fooling me, maybe because the Bengals are playing well right now and they're blocking better now too. I think that offensive line's gotten better. I think that's one of the hidden stories about the Bengals season is they've gotten better as the line's gotten better.
I think they're the best team in the AFC right now.
I hope you're right.
I think they are.
Yeah. They certainly have the Chiefs.
Because I don't think Josh Allen's playing that well.
I think elbow's still a problem.
Yep. I mean, there's nothing wrong with him and Stephon Diggs. They are on the same page. But he's not on the same page with anybody else. I mean, watch his throws. The Thursday night throws to Gabe Davis were terrible, other than the touchdown. Yep. He missed Gabe Davis on nearly every other throw. Bad throws. I mean, we can rip on Gabe Davis. You know, we could do another podcast just about what a disappointment Gabe Davis has been. But he threw bad balls to Gabe Davis. He threw bad balls to Knox. He's not right.
Yeah.
And their defense has been a disappointment. Now they've got problems there. I mean, Miller, obviously, but their defense hasn't been quite as good. Now it was better, but the Patriots, we know the Patriots got issues. I don't think Josh Allen is right. And then the Bengals just beat the Chiefs, who I thought were the best team in the AFC. Yeah. I think the Bengals are the best team in the AFC right now. And Chase just walked right back on the field and looked like Ja'Marr Chase again.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed that one without a doubt. I mean, at the same time, I mean, I'm thrilled with where the Bengals are right now. I mean, that was an awesome win. And it's still a 3-point win over the Chiefs, and the Chiefs had a fourth quarter lead. So I wouldn't panic if you're a Chiefs fan. I'm very happy. I'm in a good place right now. That's
the season's not over yet. I understand that. I'm just saying, as of right now, I think the Bengals are the best team in the AFC.
Yeah, Bengals still have to play the Bills too, by the way. Also, that's still coming up in week 17. So I mean, that schedule is just ridiculous. But like the Bengals say, they have to play us. So you know, that goes about Gabe Davis. Okay, so the upside's so high.
Yeah,
but the floor is pretty low. He's a tough guy to start, tough guy to rank. I've got him down at 29 this week because I hate the matchup against the Jets. Lower. 16. Yeah, but I mean, listen to the people below him. I mean, it gets pretty ugly pretty quick. Like Nico Collins and Zay Jones. Are you starting those guys over Gabe Davis?
Yeah, Collins. Not after what we saw happen to Michael Pittman last week. Now, I don't think as bad as the Texans are, I don't think they're just going to take Collins out of their offense. I don't know what the Colts were doing with Pittman last Sunday night. I'm watching that game too. I mean, that's inexcusable. So I do think that the Texans will try to throw to Collins, but Diggs is just going to take him out.
Yeah.
So, no, I would start Davis over Collins, but, I mean, the Jets are going to put Gardner on Davis, and he took Davis out in week 9.
You don't, they're not going to put him on Diggs?
No, they didn't, because he doesn't travel. And Diggs went right into the slot that whole game in week 9 and caught five balls for 90 yards. And Gardner does not go into the slot.
Okay.
So I might move Davis lower then.
You're right.
I've got Davis in my two biggest leagues, not starting him. Yeah. Now, if the Jets are smart, they'll travel Gardner on Diggs, but I don't think they're going to do it because they beat the Bills doing this. They were willing to let Diggs do his thing, and they beat him. And they didn't travel Diggs on Jefferson last week.
No, that's true. That's true. They didn't.
So, or did I say Diggs on Jefferson?
Gardner, I knew what you meant. Gardner on Jefferson. And Jefferson didn't have a massive game. He had the touchdown.
No, and
Cousins was pretty, like, let's face it, Cousins was pretty terrible in that game too. Some of that's the pressure that they put on him. Some of that's also, he was just missing throws. But yeah, he's a tough rank this week. Zay Jones, Deontay Johnson, Tyler Boyd, Juju. These are your pivots. You know, if you're going to.
I would go Zay Jones over Davis. I mean, Jones was bad last week, but he dropped 3 balls. He doesn't drop those balls. He's probably double-digit points last week.
Yeah. And Juju, a good matchup at Tennessee, by the way. Wide receivers do well.
It's a great matchup. Yeah, it's a great matchup. Juju's just been more consistent. Not really a ceiling guy.
Mm-hmm.
Boyd, I mean, Boyd should have had a great game last
week. What a drop.
Crying out loud,
he catches
that damn touchdown.
Oh, I know that games were lost on that, on the basis of that. Yeah. So that's rough too.
And he's got a great matchup too.
Indeed.
So, yeah, I just don't like the matchup at all for Davis this week.
I don't either. So after this week
for Davis, if you're good to go after this week for Davis, 3 in a row.
Yeah.
Slam dunk matchups for Gabe Davis. Now, he may not come through, but they're all A-plus matchups for the next 3 weeks.
We talked about Minnesota-Detroit being a great game. How about Miami and the Chargers as a great offensive game as well? I have Jeff Wilson on my primetime team. He killed me last week, but he's been a godsend otherwise. I think he gets his mojo back against the Chargers this week.
I do too, but Mostert led the way in the backfield last week, so now all of a sudden you got to worry about what they're doing there. And it's a great matchup for both of them. So how do they handle? I mean, I like both of those guys, so I'm not sure how they handle that backfield. But I do. If you got Wilson, and again with 6 teams on bye, you're probably not hesitant to start him because the matchup's so good. But if you got Mostert, you're probably looking at Mostert at least as a flex, at least as an option. Because the matchup's so good. They're both in play. They're both at least RB3s this week. Everybody runs on the Chargers.
Yeah, agreed. And that's why I think it's a mistake to overreact to the bad week last week and bench Wilson this week. I think you need to start him.
Definitely. Well, against that defense, yeah.
Yeah.
49ers.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Niners are the toughest team against the run. I think you just chalk it up to that. They ran the ball 8 times. 8. Against the Niners. And part of that is because they're behind.
Which was the right idea.
Yep.
I mean, you got to understand who you're playing. I mean, you don't just not run it, but you understand you run it a few times, but you got to beat them throwing the football. I mean, you should understand who you're trying to play and win the game that way. I mean, it's like when the Packers played the Titans and they tried to beat them running the football. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're still trying to find their offensive identity, and it's a little late for that, but still, that's what's happening a little bit there. Any other matchup that catches your eye this week? Anyone that you're excited about?
I want to see the Jaguars interest me. That Titans Jaguars game does interest me. Obviously, want to see Trevor Lawrence play and bounce back. I think the San Francisco Tampa Bay game is certainly interesting with Brock Purdy. What's he going to do? And how's that San Francisco offense going to look with him? Because we finally saw Christian McCaffrey look like Christian McCaffrey and be a bell cow. Now, they did, you know, use Mason in that role, in the backup role. He wasn't phased out, but it was McCaffrey as a bell cow.
Yep.
And so he was an elite RB1 again for the first time in over a month. So is he going to maintain that bell cow role? I think he will with Brock Purdy. And again, like I said earlier, I think the offense is going to be tailor-made for him and Debo going forward. I think Ayuk is going to be okay, but he's more of a wide receiver three play now without Garoppolo. But I think that game is going to be very interesting because, again, Tampa Bay's got to keep winning.
They do.
And it's not going to be easy against that defense. So that game interests me quite a bit. I'm really looking forward to that one quite a bit. And again, we talked a little bit about it. You know, the Sunday night game is very interesting. The Monday night game on the surface doesn't look like a great game, but right. I think from a fantasy perspective, there is a lot to look at there. You know, Ramondre Stevenson kind of hurt us, you know, as a potential elite RB1, but I don't think Damien Harris plays this week again. So he's got a bounce back potential there against the Cardinals. And what do we see from Kyler Murray against his Patriot defense? So I'm looking forward to that one to close out week 14.
All right, very good. We'll close out with a question from Jelly of the Month. He goes, notice Lazard was dropped in his league because they had the bye this week. His current wide receiver 4-5 is Jacoby Myers. Should I drop Myers for Lazard? Thinks that Green Bay has a decent playoff schedule. Three wide receivers, PPR with a flex. I mean, I like Lazard over Myers the rest of the way. I don't have a whole lot of trust in Mac Jones, so I think I would go ahead and do that.
If Myers was healthy, I wouldn't. I mean, Myers is such an underrated PPR guy, but he's dealing with that shoulder, didn't practice yesterday. If Myers can play this week, he's looking fantastic. If he's not, you know who I do like this week, Jeff, is Devontae Parker. I think he's a sneaky wide receiver play this week if Myers is out.
That Arizona secondary is pretty bad. You're right.
It's pretty bad, and they are a pass funnel defense for sure. So, I mean, I'm a big Jacoby Myers guy. I don't think he's a great player, but I do think he's an underrated guy. So, I mean, I just don't like Allen. I've never liked Allen Lazard much, and Watson's just ascending.
Okay.
I mean, Myers being hurt kind of makes me go, all right, if you want to. I'm not, I guess. It's not an overwhelming yes for me.
Okay. So we have one yes vote, one no vote basically there. So sorry, yeah. Jelly. Yeah, you're on your own, dude. Yeah, you're the deciding vote. So you can go that way. Hey, Tom. Awesome stuff today. Really appreciate you coming on board with us and talking a little bit about NFFC. Big week here, and look forward to listening to you and Greg on Wednesday nights.
My pleasure. Thanks again, Jeff.
You bet. Tom Kasinick, everybody. You can hear him on the High Stakes Fantasy Advantage Wednesday nights on SiriusXM Fantasy. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We got John and Mario tomorrow. And catch us, as always, on SiriusXM Fantasy, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Thanks for listening. Take care.